El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, podcast about news, information, tech, pop culture, style, trends, fashion, war, guns, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, whatever we want. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all. No co-host, but I do have a couple of guests. Case in point, Heather Maruli's here.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Does everyone see Heather waving?
I see her loud and clear. I don't know if that's for me to say, but.
And that other voice you heard, Ethan Stanislavski's here.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
You all know Heather. You all know Ethan. You all love Heather. You all love Ethan. Probably. I don't know.
I don't know. I got some hate comments once.
Oh, from my listeners? I doubt that.
From somebody on Unpopular Opinion.
Oh, yeah.
They wrote a whole Reddit post about me. I'm not even making that up.
But see, that's that thing where there's a big protest and they're like, actually, those are outside agitators coming too.
Yeah. I had a situation where someone who was in the message board for Unpops added me on Facebook. And then I posted about a friend who got hurt and she was like, that guy's a dick. And that was weird. And I had to block that person because I'm like, this is a friend who lost part of their head. Literally. And you're saying, fuck that. He wasn't nice to me the one time I met him. And I'm like, that was weird. That was some 2016, 2017 drama right there.
That does sound like some vintage 2016 drama. I don't know who those people would have been. But hey, calm down. We are talking about a very fun subject this week. Not fun. The future of this country is not going in a fun direction, no matter what side of things you're on. But we are talking about predictions for the 2024 election by way of psychics and mediums who have posted their detailed descriptions of how 2024 is going to go. We're going to go through some of them, see if we believe them or not. Just up top, a little plug, plug, plug. Over on my Substack right now, I have a new column up about a guy named Athos Salome, who is the Nostradamus of Brazil, the living Nostradamus. He has predicted some very wild things for the United States in 2024 and 2025, including that we're going to get invaded.
Oh.
Very exciting. So check out my column about that. It definitely ties into what we're talking about, but we're not talking about that guy on this episode. We're talking about predictions for the election. I had the idea to do this because of an incident that happened a couple months ago on Fox News. Jesse Waters. Any fans? Any Jesse Waters fans here?
Oh, I know who he is.
We got some running waters here. We got some water runners, water drippers.
He, back in January, had a tarot card reader named Paula Roberts on his bullshit show for losers. Roberts, according to her website, is a, quote, psychic, clairvoyant, seer, ghost hunter, handwriting analyst, and remote viewer. So she's probably watching us right now. We need to be on our P's and Q's.
What I love about those titles, just before we get going, is they're all really crunchy, but then handwriting analysis, that's a legitimate practical skill. Like, that's something you could use in court. The other stuff is, okay, cool, I live in LA, I've accepted this, but handwriting analysis, that's a weird practical wrench thrown in.
Diversified her skill set for income. Yeah. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. I'm surprised Notary Public wasn't in the middle of that. So Jesse Waters had her on to do a reading about what's in store for Trump in 2024. Anyone ever had a tarot card reading?
Many times. I actually have tarot cards right here, Adam.
Oh,
oh wait, no, they're behind me.
Can you do a tarot card reading?
Of what?
Trump in 2024.
On the show?
Yeah. I didn't know this was an opportunity we were going to have. Well,
first of all, I feel slightly attacked that I'm a guest on this because I was like, okay, what's all this psychic prediction? Because you know I'm into all of this stuff, right?
What? No. No, I have no idea. I throw darts at a board that has topics on it.
Oh, yeah? You sure about that?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, they'd randomly land. I was like, oh no, Heather Maruli, she's into stuff like this. That's crazy. What a coincidence.
It is a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be fair, Heather, you should have seen this when you drew a card earlier.
I haven't drawn any cards.
All right. I won't put you on the spot to do a tarot card reading for Trump. It's fine. We have this woman's tarot card reading, Paula Roberts. She pulled a card with a figure wearing a dark robe just standing in the middle of a
field. The death card?
I don't think it was the death card, but even Jesse Waters, when he first looked at it, goes, oh no. And sure enough, at first she tries to just move on and he's like, no, what's it mean? She goes, oh, well, you know, I feel a sense of loss. Trump in 2024. And Jesse Waters was not impressed. She tried to soften the blow a little and say, well, I just see that Trump is holding on to things he's lost as opposed to appreciating what he still has.
You mean like the presidency? That he had to move on from? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to maybe be a reference to the 2020 election, which he did not win.
Right.
I would like to make clear. So it actually gets better. She pulls this card that indicates a sense of loss around Trump. And then Jesse Waters is like, all right, do Biden then. And she pulls the Biden card. And this card, the person on it is draped in all these extravagant robes and is wearing a crown. And she just goes, oh, lots and lots and lots of money. Just lots, lots of money. And Jesse Waters goes, from China?
What?
That was a decent joke.
God, they always just love to slip the agenda in there. You mean the Emperor card? Is that what it was?
I don't recall.
The Emperor is, it's the image of like king draped in robes with a scepter on a throne.
Can I ask, are there any, now it's good that you're here, Heather, because we have somewhat of a subject matter expert.
Okay.
What are the consequences for rigging a card deck?
What do you mean rigging?
If you shuffled it and you're like, I want to give Trump the death card and I want to give Biden the Emperor card.
Uh-huh.
And I want that to reflect, because I have a narrative I want to reflect. Do the spirits kill you in your sleep or something like that? I don't know.
I don't think so. But then again, I've never heard of anybody purposely rigging a card to come up. I guess you could, like in a magic trick, like how they make the right card come up every time. I guess, but I don't know. Didn't she? But she said, uh-oh, when the death card came up, right? So I don't think she she didn't rig it.
I think you wouldn't even really need to rig the deck. You could just lie about what the card means. I would have no idea.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, the cards generally do have specific meanings depending on the direction they come out. They could be reversed or upright. That goes into it.
I don't think her, but there is one later where they talk a lot about the cards being reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I don't know if it was a typo, but she was referring to the tarot card. And she goes, and the iPad behind his back refers to. And I was like, who drew a tarot card of this old timey motherfucker with an iPad?
I'd have to see the card.
It's like a Gen Z card. They have a Gen Z deck or something like
no,
that?
No, they make all kinds of different decks. There's a deck for everything. They probably have a Simpsons deck. That's how specific people can get with the... I don't, they make them... It's considered an art project, basically. First and foremost is the imagery of the cards is supposed to represent the major and minor arcana. So they're symbols that are stalwart throughout time. And they're artistic drawings. So that's part of it.
That makes sense. Would stand to reason that there'd be a bunch of different types of tarot cards.
I mean, it's like the same idea of like playing cards with the ornate designs on them.
And you can also do a version of tarot card reading or a type of card reading with regular playing cards.
Yeah, there's readers who use playing cards.
Yeah, Lauren Brenner, who has been on the show a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miranda King, is that her? They host a podcast called Hard for Cards, I believe. And that was the whole premise, is they would do readings using playing cards. And I was supposed to be on it. I never was, but I'm sure they were going to tell me I am going to be very successful. Mm. So I'll just trust that and use that to carry me through. Also on this Jesse Waters episode, this is where I start to maybe not believe this woman, because on top of her predictions for the election, Paula Roberts also says that Americans should expect, quote, great happiness this year. This is the full quote. I mean, that's just full of joy, contentment. It's actually a funny way of putting it. It is as big as the money card is. It's a big, 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 big happy. I don't feel like that's going to be correct. There is no way all of us are going to be happy this year. No way.
Okay. I have an idea of something that's going to happen, but
I could see a small happy for everyone. Everyone, I feel like, no matter how much of a miserable prick you are, you have a little moment every week or so where you're like, oh, that's nice. So I could see that. And maybe on aggregate, I'm being really statistical about this. I'm being real money ball. But happiness compared to now versus then, compared to a year before, do we have an overabundance of happiness? No, but what is happy at this point? I don't even know anymore.
I would say maybe it takes something very small to make you happy these days, right? So it doesn't have to be super significant.
Yeah, this could also mean Trump wins and everyone who doesn't support him dies and gets murdered by the state. And then all that's left is people who love Trump. So, yeah, everyone's really happy in 2020.
Yeah, we could have the four horsemen come in and all the good people are lifted up and the Jews are left behind to die, as that book title goes. The people who are up there are happy. Yeah.
Maybe she's right. Who knows?
If I don't do the podcast, but by the end of 2024, it's been nice knowing both of you. We'll be down here in the mud. But otherwise, yeah.
So let's talk about this next prediction. This one comes from psychic tarot reader and certified clinical hypnotherapist, Kira Oser, via her website, kiraoser.com. Mm-hmm. I do know clinical hypnotherapist is a thing you can be certified for. I knew a clinical hypnotherapist who clearly didn't use her tricks on herself.
There is a legitimate, I've done hypnotherapy with a therapist, an actual therapist, not a circus therapist who does hypnosis at carnivals. This has been something that clinical psychology gives PhDs you can do this in even. But yeah. I just want to know what that certification is. Is it the Hollywood Upstairs Medical College? Where does that certification come from? Second Simpsons reference in the show.
Yeah, that would be the question to ask. What does that certification involve? I feel like you can kind of certify anything if you have the right expert and the right person looking to get certified.
Adam, I'm just going to go ahead and certify you as a hypnotherapist. Congrats, you're certified. I called you certified.
I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the first really alarming detail about this prediction is she made it on January 6th, 2024. And this is a quote, like many of you, that date brings to mind the topic of the U.S. presidential elections. Not quite. It was an election-related act, but I feel like if that's your go-to for, oh yeah, elections, you probably felt a certain way about it. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it's a weird starting point to be like, hey, January 6th, let's talk about it.
That's almost like, hey, it's September 11th. I have feelings about architecture.
Yeah, kind of. This one otherwise is pretty fascinating. I think it's the longest of the ones we're going to cover. She breaks it into three parts: Democrats, Republicans, and third party candidates. For Democrats, she pulled the Seven of Swords.
Uh-oh. Betrayal. Disaster. Seven of Swords is a bad card.
Here's her interpretation
okay.
of what this means. It's going to be a little long. I do apologize for that. Here we go. In this image, a man seemingly stealthily takes 5 swords from a military camp and leaves 2 behind. He creeps away on his toes, possibly quietly so as not to be caught stealing these swords meant for battle. The suit of swords is a problem-solving suit that represents intellectual pursuits and encourages strategizing and using critical thinking to find solutions. Swords are related to air signs. The 7 of swords indicates a conflict, likely related to secrets coming out about scandals and underhanded deals. A particularly pivotal investigation might put the spotlight on one person's involvement, but they will come to be portrayed in opposing media as representing the entire party. This scandal will be uncovered by someone in the Republican Party, parentheses, more on that later, end quote. I feel like that cannot be what that card means, because there's a whole other section after this that is a interpretation of what this card means.
That's her interpretation of what it means in relation to her predictions.
I said that wrong. There's a description and an interpretation, and they both feel like interpretations to me.
I would like to see the image of the card she's looking at, because this whole thing about taking 5 swords from a military camp and leaving 2 behind, I want to see the image of the card she's talking about. I don't know what deck she's using or...
I can see it here.
I was going to say, tell me you didn't read the notes without telling me you didn't.
Oh, I have the link open. I see it. Okay. I thought it ended after her... No, anyway, whatever. Also, the fact that his head is turned towards looking the 2 swords he's leaving behind is interesting. Also, his left foot is in front of his right foot, which I think is also significant. I do think that sounds ridiculous, but to me, that represents something about injustice.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is he looking back at? I don't think he's looking back at the swords. Is he looking just to be like, hey, no one saw this? Cool. It sort of looks like, just in the face, it's like, my lost love, what could my life have been? There's a little bit of that in his face. So I'm wondering if it's like, what sacrifices did he have to make to leave behind? Was it a love? Was it a situation? Or was it just, anyone here? Cool. No. Yeah. Democracy. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The first part of that sounds like it could be referring to anything from the Dems are going to take our guns to Israel, maybe, or Ukraine. Because her interpretation, all of it involves taking weapons away.
Taking weapons away from us?
From...
And what, giving them to another country?
She doesn't say where they're taking them to. But she does imply that they're taking weapons that are meant for battle. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, would, if we are interpreting this in modern terms, could be aid to Ukraine. It could be aid to Israel. It could be guns. She could be referring to any number of things. I think aid to Israel is a weird way to put it. Money that we send to Israel. Aid is, I mean, we're aiding something happening.
Yeah, we're aiding, possibly even abetting something.
Yeah, yeah, we are aiding and abetting for sure. It's just, it's not the way I meant to use aid.
But yeah, in terms of from your tarot card reading, how do I know this person's alt-right right away? How do I know that just from their one interpretation?
Yeah, a lot of this...
That's the vibe I'm getting.
...does feel like there's some MAGA undertones.
You think this woman is MAGA?
Does that seem that crazy?
I don't know.
Where was she on January 6th? Were you there? Were you storming the Capitol? Or were you around when that was happening?
Yeah, that's the other thing. This... prediction in particular feels more like she's just doing political pundit stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of guessing where the country's going to go based on what's available in the news, but also with a big, heavy dose of opinion.
Also, I would say that in her interpretation of this, where she ends it, it says, on another level, the card is about military action, which means war. And especially the topic of weapons supply will be higher on the agenda for topics in the 2024 elections. Don't we talk about weapons every election?
Yep.
Or possible military defunding, stuff like that. Those are topics that come up all the time. So I feel like it's so generalized.
Yeah.
I also feel, I don't know, Adam, if you're going to include the link to this in the show notes, but...
No, I will.
Yeah, the website I get all my news sources from websites that look like they're a blogger from 2005.
It's an old WordPress blog with the papyrus background.
Yeah, it looks like a scroll.
Yeah.
If your website doesn't have really outlandish buttons and medals that are from Microsoft Paint, don't trust that news source if it doesn't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
Awarded top 100 psychic blog, PayPal verified. That's very good to know.
But yeah, what does PayPal verified mean? I guess it would give me some peace of mind that I was sending money to a real psychic.
Yeah.
Let's talk about her description, or I keep getting these backwards. The first one was the description. Now this is the interpretation. Here goes. Something is hidden in the interest of the greater good, but hiding part of the truth about a candidate, amongst other things, is dishonest to the public and will backfire on the Democratic Party in these elections. While the deception will be well-intentioned, the truth comes out in the end and puts the campaign at risk. The defense for this strategy will be that the opponent posed a perceived threat to society or civilization and therefore was justified in the utilitarian interest of the greater good. The perspective put forward by some media circles is that the opponent is more charismatic, charming, and has personality. This campaign strategy will prompt the following question in debates between future TV news pundits. Is it ever okay to hold back part of the truth if it will minimize harm or even possibly help? On another level, the card is about military action, which means war, and especially the topic of weapons supply will be higher on the agenda for topics in the 2024 election. Oof, that was long. And also, yeah, how did she know we'd be talking about war in the 2024 election? Like,
hold on a second. Yeah, also, the thing about charismatic, charming, and personality. She's talking about Trump, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know if I could take her seriously. Also, she has an IMDb, and she's an actress. Or she doesn't act anymore, but she did.
What is she known for?
This is one of her income streams. She's diversifying, just like the first woman.
You know what my thought on this interpretation is? You know how we were saying the description read like an interpretation? That reads like a description in comparison to this. So I take it back. This is an interpretation and that was a description. Aren't you supposed to be, when you're a psychic, you can't be that specific. That's like saying we had this thing of leading to conflict and loss. And to go from that to the vice president is going to shoot your dog. You can't do that jump. You have to have a little more ambiguity if you, I don't know. I don't claim to be a tarot card reader. I don't claim to be an expert in the field. That seems awfully specific for an interpretation.
I would agree. I think both of them sound awfully, awfully specific for a description or an interpretation. I wish she could show her work. This needs to be like that.
It needs to be on video like other people do it.
Yeah. I need to see her thought process here. For the Republicans, she pulled the High Priestess card. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's the card I like so much.
And it's reversed.
It's reversed. It's upside down.
Ooh. Yeah, I have a High Priestess card t-shirt that I wear on my torso sometimes. And here's the description. It's a lot shorter for Republicans, which that part's good. Here we go. Description. The High Priestess is akin to a female pope or other religious figure. The pillars can represent a balance between masculinity and femininity, as well as other dualities. When the card is reversed, these qualities and others may be out of balance. Now, see, that's a description. That is just a brief description of the card. Mm-hmm. What she did with the Democrats was not a description of that card.
Yeah, I'm sensing some bias.
It seems like it.
This is the only situation where you become more professional when you engage with the Republicans. If I heard that from a tarot card reader, that description, I'd be like, okay, cool. Everything I was talking about, the vagueness, but leading you in a general direction, that's all there. That's perfect. That's a perfect, succinct thing. What the fuck was that first part?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he or she might be talking about Trump and Kristi Noem, just assuming Trump is going to pick Kristi Noem as his VP. I've actually seen some headlines that imply the puppy thing actually was a bridge too far, even for Trump.
Oh, that's the woman who got the Fox News hair extensions.
Kristi Noem?
Yeah, she changed her hair. Her hair.
Oh, no. Kristi Noem's been glamming herself up since the 2000s.
Oh, really? Because
yeah, she's been... I lived in South Dakota for 10 years.
So she's always been dressing and looking like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Kristi Noem. She's always kind of looked the way she does. She's blown up a little bit now that she's on a bigger stage, but that's always been her look.
This is the woman with the story about the dog?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just put this together. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, she's been a career politician. She's been a politician in South Dakota for well over a decade, long, long time. And I have actually seen some reports or claims that that story was a little too much. And the Republicans on Trump's side are like, ah, yeah, that's not going to look good when we're campaigning later this year. And I really, really, really agree. That is actually going to be a bridge too far for a lot of people. Even if it's not, why would you want to answer that question over and over and over? Hey, you know how you picked a VP who murdered a puppy and wrote about it? Let's talk about it. Tell me why. You're never going to stop answering that question.
Yeah, I just like that we draw the line at shooting dogs. First graders, cool. First graders, if you are a person who shoots first graders, you have the right to do that. And the cops who do nothing have the right to continue to do nothing. But puppies, woof, that's a bridge too far there.
Yeah. I do feel like if he picked an actual school shooter for his VP, that would have been even more controversial. Not out of character for him at all, but...
Yeah, I would say that I wouldn't be... Kyle Rittenhouse, they've been offering him jobs as staffers.
Oh my God.
I was just going to say Kyle Rittenhouse would not have been a surprising pick.
I could see that.
I assume you have to be a certain age to be VP also, because if you become president, then you're not meeting the must be this tall...
Yeah, I could see him running for Congress within 5 years easily.
Yeah, once all the Handmaid's Tale stuff jumps off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristi Noem, she's a piece of shit. But also, it doesn't mean he won't pick a woman. It just means it might be worse than Kristi Noem. Because I would argue Marjorie Taylor Greene would be a significantly worse step for this country.
Oh my God. She's horrible.
My mom's name is Marjorie. And I've almost never heard my mom swear once in my life, but we were discussing Marjorie Taylor Greene, and my mom says, no one had the name Marjorie till this motherfucker came in. And I was like, Mom, cool.
It's not a name you hear a lot. I can sympathize.
I was just like, I've never heard my mom use that word. And okay, that's, if anyone deserves it, yep.
Yeah, I also think Carrie Lake would be a much worse choice than Kristi Noem, because Carrie Lake is such a hardliner when it comes to the election being stolen in 2020. I feel like even Trump is like, okay, back off a little. Wasn't that stolen?
But here's the thing about Trump and just how strong his cult of personality is. If he nominated Melania, fine. That wouldn't make a difference. He could just nominate someone in his family. I don't think his campaign, unless he nominates someone who shoots a dog, but his campaign's not going to be improved by anyone he adds. His cult personality already could not be higher. So there's no election getting the map there. My guess is it's going to be someone in his circle of trust. I feel like he did that with Mike Pence, where Trump in 2016, at least, didn't have the Christian strength in his campaign. And so he brought in Mike Pence, who is a hardcore Christian. And then he was sympathizing with the Hang Mike Pence crowd. And so I think Trump's just going to be like, let me just put Jared or someone or Trump Jr. in there. I think it's just going to be that. I think he's just going to put someone in his circle. And that's honestly maybe the smartest thing he can do, because that just keeps his cult personality going.
Yeah, I could see him going with one of his sons, even, or Ivanka.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I guess, but I don't know. I think he's going to pick one of these women.
Yeah, I could see it. I could also see him picking a black person for his VP.
Herschel Walker?
Yeah, I could see actually being his VP. I don't think America's ready for that shit, but I could see him doing it. A lot of his agenda is, and it has been forever and ever, and people just don't read enough to know it, but a lot of his agenda is predicated on the idea that illegal immigration hurts black males the most. And a lot of his policy, especially when he ran in 2016, a lot of it was directed right at improving the situation in Black communities. And I know people don't want to believe that, but you can go look at his first campaign website and you'll see it. I wrote a Cracked article about it. I actually thought he would pick a guy named Peter Kiersenau for his vice president in 2016. Peter Kiersenau is the architect of that idea that illegal immigration hurts Black males the most. And he served under Bush and Obama both, which makes him seem like a bipartisan kind of guy. But he was actually appointed by Bush, and there was just no point during the Obama presidency that Obama could remove him. I think Congress confirms the reappointment, and it was a Republican-controlled Congress under Obama. So it's kind of smoke and mirrors that he served under Bush and Obama both, but I was surprised he didn't pick that guy last time. It would have been smart.
He has a twirly mustache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He looks like a movie villain.
I think people would have hated that. They would have told him to get rid of that.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking about the optics of the mustache.
I feel like the optics of, oh, well, you have been called racist for voting for me for the past 5-6 years or so. How about now? Now we got a Black VP. That is going to make a lot of Trump supporters. It's just going to warm their hearts because now they can be like, I'm not racist. I voted for a Black vice president.
I don't know. I think it's going to have the opposite effect, because basically all of these people who are, they're basically white nationalists, right? A lot of these people.
That is such a misconception about Trump supporters. They are not all white nationalists.
Not all of them. I'm not talking about all of them. I'm talking about some of them are. For sure. I go on Twitter, there's all these people with these weird signifiers in their bio, and they're all MAGA 2024, then they have all this white America stuff. And
not to state the obvious, there are several people of color in the Proud Boys. What you're saying isn't going to impact them at all. They don't think they're racist. So the leader of the Proud Boys,
they think they're not racist.
Yeah, they don't think they're racist.
Okay, but are they?
Yes.
Right.
Right. But they're not. They would love to have that kind of shield when it comes to voting for Trump, to be able to say, no, of course I'm not racist. Listen to his policies. Look at his vice president. Of course I'm not racist. So you think racists would abandon Trump?
I think some of them would. Yeah. I'm not saying all of them. I think some of them would.
So you don't believe Trump when he says I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue?
Oh, no, he could do that.
He could absolutely pick a Black vice president and win. For one thing, he's going to get way more of the Black vote than any Democrat wants to admit.
Yeah, that I believe.
You can just Google that. It is a thing. I saw a report on the fucking NBC Nightly News about Black voters who were planning to vote for Trump this time around. And it's because of the economy. The economy outweighs a whole lot of other issues that we think are going to be.
That's the issue that comes up every election, or people like the economy. That's the basic thing that people talk
about. Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah.
And what's so frustrating is, for work and just for other things, I read what the financial industry thinks, and everyone's like, people have jobs now. The job economy is better. Inflation is less than it was a year ago. Why are people thinking the economy is bad? And they don't realize that wages are a thing, the people in these roles.
That wages are stagnant still.
Yeah, that's just not something that computes.
Wages are a thing.
Also, cost of living.
A lot of those job numbers are people taking on second and third jobs because the rent is too damn high.
Right.
A lot of Biden's job gains are because the economy reopened after COVID, and that just naturally led to people getting more jobs. So yeah, his gains when it comes to the economy are a lot of smoke and mirrors also.
Another wild card in this, and it's not something we like to talk about. We talked about it when I was last on the show, Adam, but any poll you see that doesn't include RFK Jr. is probably not an accurate poll, because he's doing wild card shit with Black voters too. I mentioned this in the last time I was on the show, but there was a week where RFK Jr. said he was in favor of reparations. Just a week. And then he took it back. But that, do you think people didn't see that?
Get back?
He took it back.
I didn't see he took that back. That's crazy.
So he just says random, he'll say whatever He doesn't have a clear agenda like Trump does, which is destroy anyone who's not like me. He just is what will get me elected. And he could throw a wrench into the black vote. He could throw a wrench at the minority vote. He could throw a wrench into the young vote. I don't trust any poll that I see that doesn't have RFK Jr. numbers in it, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win, but I think any poll that doesn't, in fact, if it's just Biden or Trump in a poll, I'm just like, this means nothing.
With RFK Jr., I haven't looked into any progress he might be making with black voters, but we did talk about a poll. There were actually two polls. I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago that showed among younger voters, if it's a three-way race between Biden, Trump, and RFK Jr., RFK Jr. actually polls way higher than Biden or Trump. And that shouldn't surprise anyone. He's the young buck of the race at what, like 72? He has more name recognition, arguably, than even Trump. Mm-hmm. And with both sides, the talking points are, the institutions are failing. We need other choices. And now here comes a fucking Kennedy with a woman vice president. I agree. He's going to do a lot of damage in the polls. I don't know that he'll win, but I also don't know that he won't.
Yeah. Or very least, he throws in a wrench to the race. I still am not sure who would it affect more. My guess is it would hurt Biden more, but he's going to be a factor. I think he's going to get more votes than any third party candidate since Perot in 92. I think that's what's going to happen. And we'll see what comes of that. But it's going to be batty with him in the race. And that affects all groups of voters. I think Trump's going to win. I have to prepare myself for that.
Oh, my God.
But I think there's a lot of people who are predicting he won't just because they can't come to terms with the fact that this is the most likely scenario right now. But I also don't claim to know that definitively because who the fuck knows what RFK Jr. will do. If they do have a debate and he gets in that debate floor, what will happen then?
Yeah, and you can't discount the Joe Rogan effect. I bet Joe Rogan's voting for RFK Jr. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't listen to his podcast, so I have no idea. But we talk a lot about Taylor Swift and her following and what it would do if she would come out and specifically endorse a specific candidate. He doesn't have the following Taylor Swift does, but it's pretty good. It's a pretty big following. If he gets behind RFK Jr., watch out. That's a lot of ears that he's going to be in. So
yeah, go back to the tarots.
Back to Kira Oser and her tarots. Let's talk about the description of the High Priestess card or her interpretation. Here goes. The High Priestess can represent intuition. In reverse, she can be warning that the person or institution being asked about is ignoring their intuition or repressing their real feelings. There might be confusion or missing information, particularly related to paperwork or publications, that corrupts the outcome. Details, possibly financial, are missing from an important document, which puts something in jeopardy based on a technicality.
Uh-oh.
It sounds like she's talking about maybe the hush money trial there. I don't know, because that is the crux of the hush money trial. It is, at the end of the day, a bookkeeping thing. It's shady bookkeeping. He tried to pass a hush money payment off as a legitimate business expense. When he could have just paid it out of his own pocket and there would have been no crime. Maybe that's what she's talking about. I don't know. But then in the second paragraph, she goes into how everything she just said could indicate that religion is going to be a big deal in this election. And it's like, oh, you think religion will be a big deal in this? And she also says that things like abortion and birth control.
Female political issues. That's what she says.
Yeah. Based on tarot cards, she has figured that out. Not the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned quite a while back. That's not going to be why female issues come up in the election. It's because of this fucking tarot card she pulled. I don't like this one.
Yeah, this is like one of those articles when I read it, I worry there's some sleeper cell shit in this and I'm going to black out and I'm going to be at the White House gates when I wake up. I don't know. It hasn't happened yet, so I don't believe it. But this just reads like some mind control shit right here.
Yeah. And the one prediction I did find interesting just for symmetry reasons is she predicts at one point, or she says she saw visions of young adults and teens draping red flags out their windows and over their balconies that look like the communist flag of China. And what's interesting about that is the guy I write about in my column that's up today as you read this, again, one of his predictions is that the United States is going to be invaded after a betrayal of some sort.
Invaded by?
He doesn't say. He just says we're going to be invaded after a betrayal. And it seems like they're on the same page, at least. But also, he wrote this particular prediction in 2020, right when Biden was elected. So again, that's just her kind of being like, oh, the lefties are in office. Here comes communism.
Probably.
Or maybe she saw some visions. Who knows? She also really seems to think Nikki Haley's going to be in this election for the long run. And that did not pan out.
She dropped out, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like a day after this article was written.
Uh-oh.
All right. Let's talk about a couple more before we get out of here. This next one comes from a medium energy healer dream interpreter named Mahiwaga Lay, who, when I first found this one, I was like, is that the name of the website or is that the person? Because it's really not clear from the website if this is a person or the whole entity that goes by that name. But I found her on Instagram and it is a person.
I'm looking her up. Oh, she's pretty.
Yeah, she's cute.
Oh, you're gonna believe these predictions, huh?
I actually find this one to be the least believable.
Okay.
What's interesting about her prediction, for one thing, is she just completely glosses over the election and most of the term served by whoever wins. She wrote this on or around, again, January 6th, 2021, either the day of or the day after. And this is a quote from her prediction. She started getting visions on January 6th, she says. Here's the first quote. Between 2023 and 2026, America will be in a state of rebuilding. I know this because I see a construction site to symbolize this phase. I also see the Lenormand Lily card to show a long-term process of working toward peace. End quote. I would like to know what we're rebuilding from. I feel like if you can predict that we're rebuilding, tell me what happened. Just tell me what
also,
happened.
Also, weird time frame. 2023 to 2026. That's like an off season to a midterm if you're doing it by election cycles.
Yeah. So for one thing, we should already be in the rebuilding process by this timeline. And I feel like we are not. I feel like we are still very much in the planning how to tear it down process.
I think also if this is from 2021, this is still when we're like, when is COVID actually going to end? So that could be part of it. It's just like, hey, we're going to be on lockdown for another 2 years and then we'll be okay. So maybe that's part of, to give her the benefit of the doubt, that's of that time that theoretically makes that. I could see that kind of reasoning having some kind of logic to it, theoretically.
I think that's actually the most obvious answer.
Right.
And she probably didn't even need to say what we were rebuilding from. And I was just like, what is it? What happened? Now I get, probably COVID. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That is a weird time frame.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that, we jump ahead to 2028. Here's another quote. By 2028, an election year, America will see the establishment of a new regime.
Regime.
I see the White House on a bright green lawn and get a feeling of positivity to underscore the omen.
Whoa, the White House lawn is green?
I also see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez very strongly in my mind's eye. That she keeps popping up in this vision of America's future suggests that she'll come to a prominent position of power in some way. I see her in a coral suit jacket. The quote doesn't actually end there, but I just thought it would be funny if it did, so I didn't include any more of it. I don't doubt that coral suit jacket prediction at all. And I do absolutely see AOC as having the charisma and leadership ability to become a far more prominent leader than she is now. She's not old enough to run for president yet.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? You have to be 35, right?
I don't think so.
I think she almost is.
That is the same as not being old enough.
I don't. Oh, she's 34. She's almost 35.
Yeah, so I think she would have to be 35 before the election starts. I don't know her birthday. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, she's not running now. But she would, which she wouldn't do unless she decided to run. She's not going to run now. If she was to run, it would be in 2028.
Yeah.
Regime is an interesting word choice in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Regime is a very interesting word choice. I could more likely, if you're going to go regime in 2028, currently have presidential term limits. What if we're like, nah, what if Trump's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Here's the Constitution. Let me take a shit on it. If you're going to use regime in 2028, that's fine. If AOC is in the White House, then I'll give it a thumbs up for now. I'm going to give it a tentative thumbs up. I agree. I could see her wearing a coral suit then. Whether or not it's in the White House, who knows?
Yeah. As for Trump, we have to jump ahead all the way to 2036 in this prediction, which in and of itself seems like
that's crazy.
Bold prediction.
He's going to be alive?
Yeah. If FanDuel would let me bet the over-under on that, oh, I would move to a state where it's allowed for sure. Because that does not seem like it's going to pan out. But here's her quote. 2036 is going to see a culmination of the Trump story in some way, perhaps beginning in 2032. If he's still alive by then, there's going to be something about his story that comes full circle. I get the feeling of consequences, and I do sense the legal imagery of a courtroom as well as the word deposition.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Who knew that a deposition would be happening? He's probably had so many depositions at this point. He's probably been deposed hundreds of times.
You can turn on CNN every day right now and watch Trump in court, or at least coverage of Trump in court. You don't get to see the actual courtroom. But yeah, this, again, does not feel like a difficult thing to predict.
I feel like maybe she has the year wrong. Maybe she's talking about 2024.
Yeah, maybe she meant 2026.
I don't know. Others are weird. They could be all jumbled. And
no one knows how they work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I listened to a numerologist on a podcast a few months ago, and she made a prediction that I thought was really interesting, which you don't have it here, but her prediction was that neither Biden nor Trump will be president by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple coming up.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the numerologist also got that.
See, even that, I feel like, I don't know, they're both so old.
They are. I don't know. It's very hard to believe that Trump will be alive in 2036. Do you actually think that's possible?
Of course it's possible.
He's one of those fuckers who never dies.
His claws are dug in living. He's sucking the life out of other people, I think, to live.
I think Republicans are actually the ones drinking up the adrenochrome, and they're just going to frame Democrats for it. Some of these fucks live so long. Strom Thurmond, didn't he live to be like 112?
112?
Not 112, but he lived into his 100.
You could co-sign the bit, Heather.
I just want to make sure. Sorry. Okay. I get worried about this stuff.
Yeah, I could see Trump living a long, long time. People
How
do
old
it,
is he then. Right now? 80?
No, I don't think he's 80. I think he might be close.
I think he's 77.
I think he's still in his 70s.
Oh, 77. Okay. Oh, okay. You know what? He could be alive in 12 years for sure.
There is an interesting prediction in this one, which again comes from Mahiwagale. We will link to all of these. What's interesting here is that Kamala Harris catches a bunch of strays in her prediction, including this one. Quote, I see that Kamala is going to come to embody everything wrong with the Democratic establishment. All of these developments set the stage for a turnover, parentheses. Amusingly, I see a turnover pastry in my mind's eye to confirm the word, in parentheses, in the American political arena. I see AOC shaking her head at Kamala Harris, which suggests AOC's disapproval and potential dissent against the mainstream rulership that Harris represents.
Yeah, because right now AOC and Biden and Harris agree on everything. That's what we when we think of the biggest allies in the Democratic Party for Biden and Harris, we think of AOC. That's of course.
Like absolutely. So yeah, this would be such a major shift in how things work.
A turnover pastry.
In what kind? Apple? Cherry?
Apple, it's American. Nothing's more American than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could go for one right now. Danish, those goddamn Scandinavian socialists.
Ooh, I fucks with a Danish, though. A cheese Danish?
Oh, cheese Danish, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of them are good.
Yeah.
It's just facts. So this last prediction, by 2052, I see the undersea kingdom from the Little Mermaid, as well as Atlantis. Granted, it's a long way off from now, but at that time, the region of America will have reached a point of spiritual catharsis. I see typical futuristic utopian imagery to show that we will have reached a new age of being by that point. End quote. It's because we're all drowned. We all died, it sounds like.
It's a climate change prediction.
It sounds like a climate change prediction, but she's like, all that water is going to be so cool.
She's predicting water world. This isn't the Little Mermaid. We're going to be filtering our urine and drinking it.
That's all right.
Hmm. Yeah. Listen, if that's the worst that happens of all the climate change things, so sometimes you have to drink your pee.
Yeah.
If everything was the same as it is now, but then you have to drink a little bit of pee and then everything will be the same forever.
Yeah.
There's worse fates. I'm not on fire if I have to do that.
Right.
I used to sometimes host a comedy video competition where it was at Westside Comedy Theater. Mm-hmm. And it would be like groups who made comedy videos. They would just screen them and we would judge which ones were the funniest. And there was this one, I hate that I can't remember the name of the sketch group that did it, but I will try to find it. It was these two dudes who were hiking and they get lost just very briefly. They get lost and a minute into it, one of them starts panicking and is like, we got to drink our piss.
I feel like I've seen it, but I'm not
sure. And the guy opens his backpack. And he's just got Tupperware containers full of piss. He's like, don't worry, I brought some. It is so fucking good.
That's great.
And, oh man, does that lend to the next prediction? The world's preeminent asparagus-based fortune teller.
I love this woman. I need to contact her immediately for a reading. I want to hear more.
This is good news for voters who stan a girl boss. Jemima Packington, great name, 67, as everyone knows, is the world's preeminent asparamancer. I don't think I need to tell anyone that what that means is she can predict the future by tossing stalks of asparagus in the air. Duh, motherfuckers. I hope I didn't have to tell anyone that.
What I'd like to imagine out there are there are people who think this is bullshit, but because celery is the right thing to toss. They're like, let's be reasonable here. It's celery, not asparagus.
Yeah, or people who've been tossing celery and getting all their predictions wrong. And they're like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's the other
asparagus.
Way.
Asparagus.
Yeah.
What a waste of asparagus, for one thing.
Yeah, honestly.
It's a tasty veggie. Like it a lot.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's up there. It's like the French fries of vegetables. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So among the things she has previously predicted, Brexit.
Oh.
The death of Queen Elizabeth. Mm. This one kills me. COVID continuing to be a threat and the Harry and Meghan scandal becoming a problem for the royal family. I'm going to be honest, almost none of that seems like you would need to throw the asparagus. Yes.
Yeah.
Like that all sounds like gut instinct mostly. When did she predict Brexit? Was it like 85? Because then I'm impressed. But was it 2015? She's throwing asparagus in the air and she's like, I think it's going to pass. You had a 50-50 shot. If it didn't pass. In the Queen's death, the Queen was 112 years old by then, right, Heather?
I don't think she made it that long, but sure.
And COVID continuing to be a threat. I feel like we could make that prediction right now.
Yeah.
COVID continues to be a threat. And I feel like we're right. That's not hard.
Again, yeah, that's just, I agree. The main sentiment is, what a waste of asparagus. You put that in the oven for 35 minutes, you put a little Munster cheese on it, and that's a better use of your asparagus.
You put Munster cheese on it?
Mm. It's pretty good.
I saute it with some garlic and some olive oil.
That's also good. I just got a
soap. I oven roast fine.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's deadly every way.
And now, let's just say, if you were to eat that asparagus that she tossed, what would that do?
It would give you nutrition. That's what it would do.
Yeah, but would it give you superpowers as well? Like,
No, none of those events happen if you eat this.
Is the asparagus sourced from a farm that she goes to, or is it that she go to Tesco and get the asparagus? I want to know where the asparagus comes from and how she selects it.
Some bullshit shaman at a food market.
I don't know. This picture of her, it looks like there's a farm in the background. Do you think she lives on an asparagus farm? I don't know. We have to find out.
What I like is that her jacket matches the asparagus in this photo.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think that's really important for this whole thing to work.
I think her most shocking prediction is that Great Britain is not going to do well at the 2024 Summer Olympics. And it's like, oh, you mean opposed to all those years where Great Britain just crushes
at
the Summer Olympics? Because I don't think that's ever happened.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So the last line is here. She uses fresh Worcestershire asparagus grown in the Vale of Evesham, UK's main supplier of the vegetable.
But it doesn't say where she gets it, though. Does she drive to a farm to pick it up?
That's true. It's just what kind of asparagus, not the source of the asparagus.
Grown in the Vale of Evesham. Okay.
And didn't that quote also say it's the UK's main supplier of
asparagus?
So yeah, she's going to Tesco.
Yeah.
She's picking this up when she does her regular ass grocery shopping. And yeah, as for the U.S. presidential election, she just says the United States is going to elect their first woman president, but does not say who it will be. I keep hearing rumblings that Michelle Obama might come out from wherever her and Barack are producing documentaries and drone striking American citizens to run in 2024. That would be interesting. I don't know if that's what I want either.
I think it's basically when you see political polls, political betting markets, they're always like, oh, Michelle, if she ran, she'd be a hot candidate. It's like, yeah, if Taylor ran, she'd be a hot candidate. It's like the same, okay, the odds of this happening are zero, but if it were to happen, oh boy, she's not going to run. I do not see happen. It won't be Michelle. If anything, Trump will die or Biden will die. And if Trump dies, it will be Nikki Haley. And if Biden dies, it will be Kamala. If it is going to be a woman in the next 4 years, that's the only way I could see it happening.
Yeah, it would have to be a situation where maybe Biden steps down.
Or could he,
live to November? Probably not. That's what you were going to say.
Well, that's what the numerologist I saw said.
Oh, yeah. I could actually see Michelle Obama running. I feel like there's too much talk about it, but I don't necessarily think it's the right move. I think she is just, to a lot of people, rightly going to represent just another extension of the Biden Barack Obama family tree, where she's just the next.
I think that's what it will eventually be. Right now, though, there's this thing of Michelle is the most popular person in the Democratic wing you could possibly imagine. She, throughout the Obama presidency, she just polled absurdly high always. And I think there's a little bit of chasing that dragon in when people say that. But yeah, of like, couldn't it be great if we had a Democratic candidate who polled that high? But
yeah, who knows? Last prediction, though. This one will be pretty short. There is a YouTube tarot card reader out there called Tarot by the Bay. We'll link to the video. It's 16 minutes long, which might as well be 4 hours in YouTube video time. So I understand if people don't want to watch all of it. We will link to it, though, so everyone can skip to the important moment, which happens at around the 11:30 mark. That's when Tarot by the Bay, who has up to that point in the video been doing a very involved tarot card reading about the 2024 election, gets to a point where, according to the cards that they've pulled, Trump will have a stroke before the election. And what's interesting is from that point, for the next few minutes, they're going back and forth over these cards and they're like, but it could be a heart attack. Maybe a stroke could be a heart attack.
Both a stroke and a heart attack can be caused by hypertension.
Yeah, this doesn't seem likely at all.
It doesn't seem unlikely? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it does. This doesn't seem unlikely. No.
Okay.
You think it's unlikely that Trump could have a stroke?
No, I think he could, but do I think it's going to be soon? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, but
anybody could, honestly.
Yeah, that's not really how strokes
work. So I'm like, is this an impressive prediction? I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying it's impressive. I'm saying it's I don't want to say. I don't want to say how I feel about this prediction.
Okay.
If he were to have a stroke between now and November, I wouldn't be surprised, but I could also see him, this is going to sound really shitty and I apologize in advance, but doing his Trumpiness with half his face and not changing anything in terms of what he's saying or how he's saying it. If he was able to recover from a stroke, it would change nothing, even if half his face couldn't move.
I'm not joking when I say I could see Trump getting a significant portion of the vote, even if he died.
Even if he died. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. John Ashcroft lost the Senate to a dead guy, 2000. Yeah.
Yeah. His opponent died in a plane crash and Ashcroft still lost. And I feel like even if he died, Trump supporters would just be like, he's going to come back on Inauguration Day. That's our Jesus. We'll vote for him anyway. And I'm barely joking, if at all.
I don't think that's a joke.
Yeah, I honestly don't think Trump dying or suffering a debilitating stroke that severely impaired his ability to communicate, I don't think that would stop Trump supporters from voting for Trump.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
He would just hire Shane Gillis to be his voice or something, and it would just be so much worse because the guy is good at comedy. But I could honestly see a world where neither of these two make it to the election for any number of reasons. Biden, health reasons, Trump, legal reasons, or health reasons. I don't know. This is such an unpredictable election.
Yeah.
I just know most of the country is going to be unhappy after.
What I will say about this election cycle is we basically got to skip primary season. Essentially, we both know who the candidates were going to be before primaries even started. Just like the fighting and the nonsense and all of the social media bullshit in 2016, 2020, even 2012 and 2008. There was none of that this year. And we're going to have to pay a horrible price for it. But at the very least, for those few months, it was none of that.
Yeah. This is the first election I recall where it feels like campaigning isn't really even necessary.
Yeah.
It feels like, let's just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let's just vote and let's do it now. Let's fucking vote now. I feel like everyone has their mind made up to some degree. And I don't know. Well, I mean, that's not true. Israel is going to be such a huge thing in this election, especially with young people. And I think that makes this a lot more unpredictable than it would have been otherwise. I don't know. This is going to be an interesting election. I don't think any of these psychics are right.
To be fair to these psychics, if I should be fair to them, like you said, no one fucking knows. I don't trust Nate Silver any more than these people. I don't trust the pollsters or, like you said, people made up their mind. We have the things we have. We have RFK Jr. throwing a wrench at things. We have all these election voter suppression laws becoming a fucking thing. Also, Roe v. Wade being overturned really fucked up the Republicans in 2022. And it's still a thing. I think the Democrats are campaigning smartly on the miscarriage issue, which is a really smart way to approach it. And that's becoming a story now. In a way, it was always a story. It was just never presented in the way it is now. And I think that's a really smart, to the Democrats' credit, a really smart strategy to approach. So there's any number of things that could happen. A lot of it could be just force majeure. So the tarot card readers don't know. None of us know. The people who are paid to know don't know anymore. I agree. Just let's just get this shit over with and we'll adjust what country we are forced to flee to accordingly.
Yeah. Good times. Our elections are always so fun lately.
It's great. Yeah. I'm trying to get citizenship in another country.
I have two. I have citizenship in Canada and Poland.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I'm applying for Italy because I can prove direct descendant from there.
Oh, wow.
They want Italians to come back because they have a population problem.
No.
It's like this whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I worry that we are going to, under the next administration, if it's the Trump administration especially, going to take such a hardline stance on asylum seekers and refugees and immigrants that when it comes time for some of us to flee the United States because of how things are getting, places like Canada are going to be like, nope.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. You don't want immigrants? We don't either. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Stay in Detroit. I could see that happening. Anything could happen.
It's true.
It's like wrestling without a script. That is this election. It is pro wrestling sans script.
Okay. Pro wrestling is more predictable than this. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows? But I do know that's our episode. Heather, Ethan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we have any final thoughts on 2024?
Nah.
Just mouth noises. Yeah.
This is an okay country. Yeah. It's okay.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Could be a lot better. Could be worse. Maybe worse. Could be better. Maybe worse.
Right.
Who knows? This feels like the appropriate time to plug some stuff. I already plugged adamtoddbrown.substack.com. Go read my writings. Maybe give me some money for it if you want. You can unlock a bunch of past articles that are behind a paywall now.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
And that's all I got. Heather, what do you got to plug?
Not much to plug because I got hit by a car last month. Still dealing with that.
So crazy.
I don't recommend it. So yeah, I'm not doing stand-up right now, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at FixedAirHeather. I tweet a lot, unfortunately, and because I got hit by a car and I have nowhere to go. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. I'm driving again. That's a positive.
Oh, that is.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Safer than walking, it sounds like.
Oh, 100%. Definitely.
In this city, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan, what do you got to plug?
Just follow me. I'm only on Instagram. I deleted my Twitter and I feel better for it. But follow me on Instagram at EthanStanComedy. I have a link tree there with other shit I've done. I think my Venmo's in there. I'm going to be shameless and say if you want to throw me a couple bucks, yay. Otherwise, just follow me. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And thank you both for doing the pod. Let's get the fuck out of here. Heather, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Take care of yourselves.
Ethan, say goodbye.
Draw whatever card you want. It's your future.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.